Acts chapter 1 today, verses 9 through 11. We continue in the three-week series. Like I said, the king is coming. He's coming again. The biblical writers, as we looked at last Sunday, wrote in such a way that they thought he was coming soon. Where is soon, you might wonder, on the calendar? It's not there. But they had that anticipation, that eager expectation that they were waiting and hoping and that they would soon see the Lord Jesus coming again. So this text talks briefly about that event. So we're going to take a look at that. It's called the Ascension. So why don't we do that right now? After he said this, this is Luke now. Dr. Luke has wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. This is Acts chapter 1. So Luke says this. He says, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Holy Spirit, would you enlighten our hearts and minds to see what you want us to see today, to see the Lord Jesus lifted high. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus was not suddenly snatched away out of their sight. This time, he did not vanish as he had done when leaving them during the 40 days. So Jesus rose from the grave, then spent 40 days with his disciples before this event. This is the ascension of Christ. Okay, he spent 40 days with the disciples, appeared before over 500 people, eyewitnesses that saw him post-resurrection. They saw him alive. Okay, so this is the event where they're gathered now, and he ascends right before their very eyes up into heaven. He's leaving. This leaving had a different meaning. Before this, if he went off to a solitary place, he would vanish. They knew he would appear again. They knew he was coming back. But now his presence was slowly, I don't know how slow, we don't know that, how slowly, or was it quick, invisibly taken up upward, kind of in a heavenly way, we could say. He was taken up by the Father into heaven, into that realm. They see it. They all are witnesses of it. They see it with their very eyes. Before, when Jesus said that he would suffer and die and be raised 3 days later, he said that they would see him. He said that they would see him later. Here's what he said from John chapter 14. Jesus said this to them, before long, he's trying to help them get a grasp on him leaving. Because he knew they were afraid, knew they were fearful. He knew they had questions. And so he says, before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And then John 16, he said this. Jesus went on to say, in a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? And because I'm going to the Father, they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. There was some confusion. They didn't understand until this day. You can just see John or maybe Thomas going, oh, okay, that's what he meant. Before their very eyes, they see Jesus going back to his Father with the promise. And the promise comes through the angel. Angels say, this same Jesus, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. He departed visibly, he shall return visibly. He went into heaven, he shall come back from heaven. He went away bodily, he shall come back bodily. The Bible speaks of Christ as the bridegroom. Christ is the bridegroom, or the groom, and the church, those who have said yes to Jesus Christ by faith, the church, y'all, as the bride, okay? Christ is the bridegroom, the church is his bride. A wedding metaphor with deeper meaning. Matthew 22:2 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his own son before the world was created. God planned a wedding. God planned a wedding. Every ancient Jewish wedding was a prophetic shadow, we could say, of what Jesus would ultimately do for his bride, the church. The bride was chosen by the Father. The process began not with romance, but with covenant. But with covenant. So the marriage contract, it was known in the Hebrew as katav. The marriage contract, the katav, was presented by the groom. The groom brought the katav, the marriage contract, often with his father. So the groom, the young man, father present, came to the bride, probably with her father present, and offered the contract, the katav. And it included terms of the covenant and the bride price. There was a bride price. The bride price was called the mohar, the mohar. The bride leaving her family meant a loss of contribution and hence the compensation. That's why there was a bride price, right? She was leaving the family eventually, so they needed to pay a price to compensate the father and his family for leaving, for the daughter leaving. Okay, once agreed upon, if that covenant that they presented to the bride and the father, if it was agreed upon, and gifts were exchanged, the covenant then moved forward. Often a cup of wine was given by the groom to the bride. Can you just see us doing this today? Will you accept my covenant of marriage? What do you think, Dad? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Probably some similar like that. It was probably in Hebrew, though. This was then called the betrothal. Do you remember Mary and Joseph? Remember they were betrothed to be married? They weren't actually married, but yes, they were. In the Jewish way of things, they were married. They were betrothed to one another. What did that mean? Betrothal. They were married, except for they weren't living together. There was no physical consummation, and they weren't going to see each other for quite some time. The covenant was made, agreed upon, gifts were exchanged, the wine. But they weren't going to see each other for quite some time. The groom would then get to work and prepare a place. Okay, she said yes! So he would go back with his father to his father's house and he would prepare a room to eventually have the bride and the groom in that room in the father's house. Okay. The groom returned to the father's house, built a bride chamber, waited for his father's approval. Here's how Jesus said it to his disciples and to us. He said it this way, John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. My father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. The timing of the wedding was known generally, but not the exact moment. They didn't know the exact moment of the wedding, but they generally kind of knew. Only the father of the groom knew. And he determined when the wedding would take place and when everything was ready. In the meantime, the bride, oh, she's over here, the bride had to prepare herself for the groom and the eventual wedding. So how did she prepare? What did she do? Her primary responsibilities, faithfulness, purity, and constant readiness. Okay. Covenant had been agreed upon. Gifts were exchanged. The wine she accepted. So she lived faithfully, pure, and ready at any moment for that wedding. Take place. We talked about that last Sunday. What were her practical preparations? Same as today. Wedding garments. I gotta pick a dress. This is the dress. Okay. Right? Wedding preparations. Okay. Wedding garments. Packed belongings. She had to pack a suitcase. Oil lamps. They had to be filled and ready. Here was last week's reading from Luke 12. Be dressed for service. Keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. I asked the question last Sunday. I'll ask again this morning. Are you ready? For when that time comes, are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you waiting? Are you faithful? Paisley goes, yeah, I'm ready. The bridegroom will come back and get his bride. He's coming. He's coming to get his bride, the church. He's coming. Yes, when? When is he coming? We don't know. But it could be soon. Here's what happened in the ancient Jewish wedding. Torchlit procession at night. Did it at night. Torches were all lit up. Shouts in the street, we're having a wedding! Sound of the shofar, that trumpet thing. So that was pretty good. A deliberate surprise. The bride knew it was coming. She just didn't know when. Same for us. We know that the groom is coming one day. Could be very soon. We don't know when. But are you ready? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior? Why at night? Why would they come at night? Well, families were home at night. Made sense. Arrival remained secret until the moment. What was the response? The bridesmaids, they got all their lamps lit. They joined the procession. They witnessed the bride being caught away. God is the one who chooses the bride, right? John 15, 16, you did not choose me. I chose you. Ephesians 1, 4, he chose us in him. before the foundation of the world. So Jesus prepares the place. Remember John 14, we just read it? Jesus prepares the place. My Father's house. There's more than enough room. I'm going to prepare a place for you, he said. I will come and get you. He said that. That was unmistakable wedding language to Jewish ears. What about the bride price? Compensation for the bride leaving the house, leaving the family. 1 Corinthians 6:20, God bought you. God purchased you with a high price. Acts 20:28, and it was purchased with his own blood. Cup of wine. Jesus said, I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Jesus is returning for his glorious bride. He is. Apostle Paul paints the picture in Ephesians chapter 5. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. So Jesus is not returning for a distracted bride. He's not returning for a divided bride. He's not coming back for an unfaithful bride. He is returning. He is coming back for a bride who is watching and waiting and ready. John Bevere shares this. What once felt mysterious now feels intimate. This isn't about fear. It's about love. It's not about panic, but preparation. The wedding is planned. The price has been paid. The place is being prepared. The only question left, will the bride be ready when the Father says, go get her. Go get her. I remember a number of years ago, standing at the front of the church and feasting my eyes on my bride as she came down the aisle. There she is. I was singing. We planned that I would sing a song to her. Don't ask me to sing it now. And I was tearing up. But I saw her. Beautifully prepared. Her mother and father, I actually asked my mother-in-law for her hand because he wasn't available to ask. But she said, the second time she said, it's on the phone, I'm sure her father and I would say yes. And so I got the permission, kind of, from the father through the mother. But that beautiful bride walked down, and that was the happiest, one of the happiest days of my life, was when I got to consummate that marriage and say yes to Rhonda, my beautiful bride. Jesus, the groom, is coming for his bride, beautifully dressed and ready and waiting for him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? Why are you looking? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for accomplishing your mission to live, to die, to be raised, to ascend, to sit at the right hand of the Father, to intercede and pray for all of us, so that your children would come back to you in and through Jesus. And we await your return so that we might be with you forever. In Jesus' name.